kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I thought it was recording already.
Whoops!
All that banter is gone. Oh shit! What am I gonna do?
That's great G material right there, man. You just let it saunter off into the distance.
Great G is being quite generous, like G for generous. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
Fuck all. Terrible. Shit.
Fun show today. We have an interview with Ricky Knight talking about his game Boo Bunny.
That one was great.
Yeah, it was.
I liked that. You guys got to stick around for that one.
With
in fact,
rock,
skip this part.
Rock and Rogue, a Boo Bunny Plague Adventure, I believe the full title is.
Something the mouthful. Like
it is. And it's hard to remember all that shit. So
it like, is. I kept calling it like Boo Bunny, a Rock and Rogue Adventure.
Well, that'll teach you. But before we get to that, we do have a handful of reviews we got to knock out quick. Are you ready to get into these, CJ? We'll just get these out of the way right away.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, we are going to kick things off with the game Warhammer Quest, originally developed by Rodeo Games, console development by Chilled Mouse, and it was published by Games Workshop. Released February 24th on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Based on the classic tabletop game, Warhammer Quest is an addictive mix of role-playing game and strategy. Lead your group of brave adventurers through the perilous dungeons of the Warhammer world in the search for wealth and glory. Our good friend Purnell is on this one. Purnell, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Holy shit, did somebody die?
No, but my body is definitely trying to shut down.
How you doing?
That sounds like you're giving birth to an alien.
I'm giving birth to what little bit of energy I've got left. It's just getting out. It's just moving. It's grooving.
Remember that Saturday Night Live song, Lazy Sunday? Wake up in the late afternoon.
Well, sounds about right then, because that's the feeling I'm running with today. And in an odd turn of events here, that feeling stems from the game that I'm on to review.
Oh my god, I just realized that the next line in the song is call Parnell, Chris Parnell, but we have Purnell.
Hey!
Just to see like how he's doing.
Maybe the song was actually written for me, and Chris Parnell was the only one on hand at the time, so they had to just tweak the lyrics a bit to accommodate who they had around.
So, Chris Purnell, how are you doing?
Well, you know, jokes and jokes.
Tell us about Warhammer Quest. Give us the deets.
All right, well, beforehand, I wanted to ask one quick question in relation to it. Was this game originally a tablet game?
Probably.
I know it was on Steam for a long-ass time, but that's all I know.
There's, like, certain quirks that make me think it was a tablet game at one point. But basically, this game is, like you stated, it's a dungeon exploration game. And you start off pretty much right in the thick of it, being in a tutorial dungeon. You have an adventurer who has lost his teammates, and the game has tasked you with going through the dungeon to kill monsters and ultimately relocate your friends. And that's their way of saying, this adventurer can do this by pushing this and basically explaining their abilities and stuff. But there are some quirks with the interface that drove me to exhaustion. One, everything is very, very slow. It's a very slow-paced game, which then again, it is based on a D&D component, which
if you're playing... It's based on a tabletop game, so you can't expect super speed out of tabletop.
Yeah, that's the sad part. You'd almost think, okay, we're putting this into a game. We can make some tweaks here to kind of make it kind of flow fast. But I mean, you click a guy and you click where he's going to go. And he's like, trot, trot, trot. Very slow paced walking. The music is not bad music, but it's not music that gets you pumped. It's music that makes you want to take a nap. You should not be adventuring on naptime tunes, but that's what this game pretty much hits you with. So you basically have characters who have wounds that they can take, which is their, you know, their hit point gauge in the D&D world or Warhammer world. You have accuracy checks, which is kind of strange for a game. This game, I'm not used to this kind of thing, where the way it does accuracy checks is it kind of starts you at like a flat 50-50, and then depending on the proficiency of you with your weapon and the enemy's proficiency with their weapon, it determines how accurate your attacks are. So in the first dungeon, I pretty much started calling this game Whiff Hammer Quest because I missed way more times than godly human possible. Thankfully, the enemies weren't all that accurate either, but it resulted in a lot of completely wasted rounds of people just whiffing their attacks. And it drove me nuts. So, but when I beat the first level, and this is why I asked you earlier if, you know, maybe the developer provided some additional assistance with their download, but there were some rare items in my inventory that, due to me possibly being in a sleepy haze, I didn't realize I either got them in the dungeon or they just happened to already be there. But once I put those on, my accuracy started going up a fair bit more. Still was whiffing, but not.
It's always possible it's like a bonus for the console version.
Like that's true, because I believe the Steam version starts at $15.99 and then you gotta, or $14.99, and then you gotta pay more to unlock the rest of the game. So it's possible because it comes in a package like that that it comes with extra items.
Let me pull up the Steam store, because I remember asking the guy the difference in versions.
And I know on the Xbox it's only the $29.99 version.
Yeah. Think. So it is supposed to be whatever deluxe thing that there is.
Then that might be possible then, because what ended up happening here, actually this might be a good opportunity to go into a component of the game that I did enjoy, which is the inventory system. When I found out about those items, I had one rare weapon for each of the four heroes that you're in that starting dungeon with. And the way the game works is every character can equip four common items, four uncommon items, and four rare items. Now, if you, say, equip a sword and a shield that are common, but then you equip a two-handed axe that is rare, both the uncommon items fall off and the one rare goes in. So it has the usual adherence, like you can't have like three axes just because they fit the common, uncommon, rare requirement. You still have to adhere to how many hands you've got and the types of equipment, but it also breaks it between those types of gear too.
Yeah.
And it has a system as far as like healing items go. They tend to fall under that same structure too. So there were minor bandages that healed for 1 to 3 wounds. They were common. But then I had a bandage that was a medium strength bandage that did 3 to 6, fell on the uncommon item. So it also prevents you from overstacking on certain types of gear because you're limited in that capacity. But one thing that I did find confusing in regards to systems was the fact that while items sort of made sense, when you tried to click and scroll through the description, yes, you only can scroll down, and it's done by like pressing pretty much like the A button, but you can't scroll up and down. It only goes down, and then you can flip the page to see the back and then flip it again to only scroll down. That was one reason why I was like, maybe it was like some kind of mobile game. It was meant to just be tapped and just scrolled through, something like that, or drag and drop the items around.
Possibly. By the way, yeah, I did find the deluxe edition on Steam. Steam's been running like a butthole for me today. The deluxe edition of the game, which the console version is, includes all the extras. They're not in the standard. Extra playable characters: the Archmage, the Bright Wizard, Dwarf Troll Slayer, Shadow Warrior, Ogre Iron Gut, Warrior Priest, and Witch Hunter. You will also receive all of the legendary weapons: Gotrek's Axe, Reaver Bow, Slayer of Kings, Staff of Volans, and Sunfang. Oh my god, I almost said something completely different there.
Yeah, I know. I heard you go.
Sunfang.
You almost said Sunflash. I was surprised, but hey, thankfully you avoided saying that. But that does explain a lot, though, because yeah. I was kind of, you know, confused because, again, the first dungeon, you start alone and you recruit your three friends that get lost. But then when you get out of the dungeon, I had all these other randos that the game never explained, whereas the entire tutorial dungeon was explaining what these other guys could do.
Yeah, that's probably what happened then, but that's a little confusing. You'd think there'd be like some sort of notification to know that maybe those are extra, like from the deluxe.
It's like, Merry Christmas, sucker. Here's some dudes. Hug them.
Enjoy your shit. Oh, and it also includes a dungeon pack and necromancers and skeletons. I want to make sure I include that.
Ah, that might show up later than like when you get to an appropriate chapter for it, because I did a few dungeons and that one didn't pop up. But it's been, like I said, put in perspective, you gave me this game in review maybe a week ago, or a little over a week ago, actually. And while I admit my life has been on the busy side due to work and such, I have tried to play this game on multiple occasions, and each time I've tried, I've fallen asleep. due to the atmosphere, the slow pacing, the music, it's just a combination of factors, and also the ridiculous amount of reading that goes in this, which, again, being based off a tabletop game, should come with the territory, but I digress. It was a very hard game for me to get into, so I kept falling asleep and had trouble sticking with the game. And yet, it's funny because today I was like, I'm going to put time into this game in preparation for this review. I can't let it slack off anymore. So I started playing it maybe 2-3 hours ago, maybe 4 hours ago, and something weird happened. By the time I got to the second dungeon, it started to flow a bit better for me. Like, there are still aspects of the game that kind of irk me, which I could go into further if you would like me to talk about them, because they involve systems of the game. But
hey, if there's something to talk about, you might, you know, this is the place to do it. A review is the place to talk about the highs and lows of a game.
That's bullock. You don't talk during reviews. You just kind of sit and sneer.
Believe it or not.
I thought you said sneeze.
I've done that a few times.
At you.
It's not everywhere, but nah, I digress.
All over the screen.
All over the screen. But by the time I got to the second, third dungeon, I was all of a sudden feeling kind of a little bit more intrigued by the game, but there are still aspects of it that kind of dragged it down for me. For example, dungeons, even by aspect of what I'm assuming may be randomly generated dungeons, it made it just really, really slow, because in addition to having to move each individual guy to a new space, which has them walking very slowly to get there, every dungeon is basically a corridor, and you walk up to the end of the corridor, and when you step in, you have the chance of an encounter occurring, which when the game will reveal what monsters are in the next room. And you'll get a very basic square-shaped room with enemies that you can attack using your various abilities and skills. Once you've done that combat, is back to corridors and slowly walking your dude step by step to the next possible square room. Sometimes you might come across a junction which will allow you to go either left, right, up, or down, but it's still another corridor.
No.
And again, some people might get down with that because being, again, based off of a tabletop game, when you draw maps on those square graph paper sheets, you're probably going to be getting that same style of mapping. So that may very well have been intentional. But from a gameplay perspective of a guy who doesn't typically play Warhammer, it felt kind of, you know, random dungeon-y, which is an aspect of those games that makes those games boring too.
This is definitely a different Warhammer game. The thing about Warhammer is that you never know what you're going to expect, because they're all completely different and just have the name Warhammer, because it's just a universe. 400
different styles of games in the Warhammer universe.
Seriously? Holy pick.
Yeah. there's first person shooters, there's RTS games.
Yeah, they have fucking Blood Bowl is in the RTS.
That's Warhammer?
Yeah, it's in the Warhammer universe.
See, things I didn't even know, and I'm familiar with Blood Bowl, but but, like, I mean, the game, I can see aspects of this game being entertaining to people who are familiar with, you know, a slow-paced slog of a game that opens up as far as options go. Because in addition to the starting characters you get, I'm assuming that you can unlock additional characters in the training grounds, the Adventurers Guild within town. Because the town aspect of the game is when you get out of that starting dungeon, you go to town, and there are four things that you can visit to bolster your ranks. There is the marketplace, which is a typical buy and sell locale. But while every town has two typical blacksmith and just like, you know, get some concessions with food and such shop, there's also one unique vendor to every town you go to that may sell magic items or potions or maybe, who knows, I haven't gotten that far yet, but I'm going to assume maybe there's even like relics that you can use to bolster your gear, like make your gear better. But they have that. The Adventurer's Guild that I mentioned earlier is where you can go to recruit new heroes or retire current heroes. Though, of course, if you retire a hero, they're gone for good. So
yeah,
retire wisely if you dare. The training grounds, like in, like I guess it's kind of like how D&D would work too. And I have always kind of liked this concept, which is that you don't level up in dungeons. Like you don't get your experience cap and then boom, you got new levels. What actually happens is at the end of a dungeon, the game will tally up who did what, like how many guys every person killed. And based on that, you get experience to them assigned to each person, which makes leveling up a wizard a pain in the butt because he always does the least amount of work in the dungeons for me.
Lazy bitches.
He is relying on the craptastic winds of power. He's completely random. It drives me nuts. But I think that's also kind of how those games work too. Sometimes you get one spell cast per day. Other games, it may be this. Magic's in the air today. Oh, that's just love. Never mind. But stuff like that. So, I mean, it might be one turn with a crap heal. Heal costs 5 winds of power, but the winds only gave me 3 today, so everyone's going to die. But when you're done the dungeon, you get your experience. Once everyone hits a certain cap, you have to go to the training grounds in town and then spend gold to be trained up to get a new level, which is how you get new abilities and your stat bumps and things of that nature.
See, I think that makes sense because, you know, in most RPGs, you kill a bunch of enemies and then out of nowhere, oh, I'm stronger now, instead of, being trained to be a stronger person, which just real world kind of makes sense.
I agree. I definitely like that aspect of the game and any game that incorporates a similar style, because I even like games more so when it's like, okay, now that you've been doing all this work in dungeons and you got a little bit tougher, we're willing to train you, but you have to choose where you want to go. We can train you in the mind. We can train you in the might. It's your call, bro. So, I mean, I like stuff like that, too. Of course, in this game, it seems like it's pretty much a straight path, and your abilities may be semi-randomized based on the training, but that's also part of it, too. It's not like you know you're going to get X muscle mass. I'm going to get this magic axe skill every time. No, you don't know what you're going to do. Training is random. Things occur, you know. Some you might get knocked upside the head, going to a coma for 2 months. Comes up, holy shit, I know this magic spell. You know, never freaking know.
Knock us outus.
I just realized it right now.
Huh. It was like, within me the entire time.
And then the temple is also cool, too. The temple is, I've seen other games use this mechanic, too, but it never hurts to mention it, which is that everyone prays to deities or whatnot in these games. So you go to church and drop some gold into a pan, and you make a prayer. And unlike the real world, the gods might hear you and bestow some kind of gift to you. So you might get +3 to strength throughout the entire next dungeon. Or you might maybe get like one less magic cost to your spells for the entire dungeon, things like that. But you can only get one buff per prayed character until you beat the dungeon that you go to next, because you have to prove yourself to the gods that you deserve that buff in order to get more favor from them. So, but I like that concept too. So, I mean, I was getting into the aspect of enjoying, you know, the idea of like, okay, leveling up, eventually leveling up my guys to get stronger. Cause I wasn't even using the bonus because I wanted to stick with the 4 I had until I got used to what they could do. I enjoyed that. I liked how some of the abilities are randomized. Like I have one of the guys in my party has a berserk ability, which allows him to go bonkers at the beginning of a round, but sometimes if he's next to one of your party members, he'll punch him in the face and do damage to him, and then he'll feel bad about it, so he'll lose a turn. It's very weird.
Woe is me.
I didn't mean to punch you, man. I'm just so fired up. But that ends up happening sometimes. You know, I have an archer, a ranged character who has a really cool sword and a good bow. So she's pretty much the most versatile person I've got. Of course, she's an elf because elves are the shit. And then I have like an ogre slayer, and then the wiz, the mage guy. So, but I personally feel like I started out being really sleepy playing the game. I ended up being sleepy playing the game, but with a new appreciation for what could happen in this game if I could stay awake through the slow paces of it. I even did like one of the quests where like I went to a dungeon to retrieve a guy's flute. And then this is early in the game, so it's not much of a spoiler. I retrieved the guy's flute. And then when I came back, he's like, hey, thanks for my flute. Would you mind handing it to me? And the game's like, to give it to him or not? And I'm like, it's the beginning of the game. And
fuck
it's a
you. I want your flute.
No, but I was like, I wanted to be the good dude, you know, be the helpful guy. So I'm like, exactly. I'm like, here, take the flute. Hand it to him. He's like, sucker, bitch. And he's like, I'm going to play this flute. And it's actually the flute of compelling. So give me all your money and I'm going to murder your party. And for a second, I thought that was going to be some kind of weird ass choose your own adventure game over. But nah, that was just an aspect, a path the quest could take. But
so it sounds like you're recommending that everybody takes and keeps the flute.
Fuck this dude's flute.
Actually, I am curious. I want everyone to keep his flute because he is a dick who is going to double cross you, and I wonder what would happen if you kept it. Like, then you could play the flute, but then you realize none of your party members are skilled in the instrumental arts. But hey, what if one of them is?
You could have a magical bard.
That's so that dickish, though.
It was such an asshole movie. He's like, let me just take all your loot. Like, dude, I went for your flute. Why was it even in the dungeon? If the flute, because it was called the flute of compelling, and you could play
it. No, that was just a trap. No, those were all his guys. They were just there.
But it makes no sense. None of it makes sense. His flute was in a dungeon. He goes, hey, dude, could you get a flute for me? And you go, sure, no problem. And you go on the dungeon, you kill a bunch of spiders and a couple of orcs. You climb up top and you're feeling good. You give him a flute, say, here you go, dude. And he pays the loot, play a little tune. And everybody gets spellcasting in the mood to give up their shit. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Those were just his pet spiders and his friendly orcs. And he just set a trap for you. And then when you thought you were actually helping him, he was actually trapping you the entire time.
But why do it? Why not just see
you? He wants your shit.
Hey, I got a quest for you. Come see me in the woods. And then when you go out there, he just plays the flute anyway.
Because he hoped that the spiders and shit might kill you, and then he just had to loot your body.
He loots you anyway. Nothing changes.
But did you fight back?
You couldn't. The flute.
This quest just ended there. Like, you just lost shit.
The description says something like, For a brief moment, he stopped because clearly this is the worst minstrel in the world. And you stop him, you throw a dagger at him, and it cuts the strings or some nonsense. But it's corny. It's like, the guy has a thing that makes you do what he says. He says, hey, come out to the woods. I got a quest for you. You're greedy, so you listen, and you go out there, and he's like, choo-loo-loo, kick you to throat. You know, it's like, done deal. It's like, why even go through the semantics of putting your flute into a dungeon to send guys to get it just so they can come out and you play it for them? It made no sense.
I guess it is weird. He could have just killed you.
He could have just killed you. Because, like, you can just picture, imagine if he did kill my party and everything's sitting there. Okay, boys, we got some loot. Time to go find another dungeon to raid and then put the flute into to go back to town to get some guys to go back in. We got to make sure not to kill any of the monsters, though, because they got to have monsters to fight like their adventurers and stuff. You know, it's like, none of it makes sense. Oh, my God, I'm going on a tirade about this game, but it's the truth. It made no goddamn sense.
But hey, that's the beauty of D&D universe and Warhammer, where
that's just true. D&D
shit
can just
doesn't
go
make sense ever.
A bad roll, and all of a sudden something's happening, and Hindenburg comes crashing down out of nowhere, and it's 1347.
And the pilot was a giant spider who has a fascination for blood elves and decides to marry you.
And you're just thinking Nazis don't even exist yet. How did this happen?
You really are thinking that, but then you realize, oh, it's not a Nazi, it's just a giant spider. That makes sense. Like, this game is just so, like, that quest makes me wonder what other quests are lying in wait for me if I played further into this game. But I would say that if you're a fan of RPGs, like dungeon crawling RPGs, and also tile to tile turn based strategy stuff, and you can tolerate a very, very slow paced game and music that isn't bad, but also doesn't get you pumped and in the mood to be awake.
These are a lot of qualifications.
Well, I mean, they're very important qualifications. I mean,
very
niche title,
it seems.
It sounds like a good game. You just got to be awake.
Exactly. I think that's
with about 12 cups of coffee.
Yes, that's pretty much it. And I feel weird saying it because I know we live in an age where everybody needs to have adrenaline pumping through their system from every game they play, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like this is a bit on the extreme side of just how like melancholy a game can be. Like, it just starts out, everything's like, the music is like quiet, damper, everything is a slow pacing, there's a lot of reading involved. It's just everything is designed to make you tired. And not in a I'm lazy and poorly educated tired. I mean, flat out, I want to like you, but I can't. I cannot resist going to sleep. Make me feel interested in getting pumped for your game. Make me want to do this. You know, but if you can get through all that, if you can get past all the lack of energy and punch a loot, my minstrel bastard in the face because he's trying to compel you with his flute of compelling, then you might have a good game on your hands. So,
loot of compelling.
I would say it's definitely, I'd say it's worth at least a try. I would definitely say it's worth a try. It's not a bad game. It's just not everybody's game.
Yeah. So, which makes sense in a game like a tabletop conversion to digital is definitely going to have a niche audience.
Yeah.
And it's funny too because when you originally say, "Hey, Pernell, you want to do a review for this game?" and you describe it to me, it's all things I typically like, and it's all things I typically would go nuts for. I play strategy RPGs all the time. I'm all about managing inventory and dealing with crazy stat systems. That's my MO. And yet, here in the Warhammerverse, it all goes topsy-turvy, nappy-wappy, and it just doesn't happen.
Nappy-wappy. Oh, my God.
You're okay. A creative soul. I like that.
I try. You know. It comes with minutes of practice.
So many minutes, damn it.
Took a lot of minutes. I mean, the time to take a little rest, wash your hands, and then before you know it, poof, hit a jar. And so, I mean, I got to do what I can.
Oh, so. Man. Sounds good.
But off the top, just in case I something, can you think of anything that you might have wondered about the game that I didn't comment on, perhaps? Or
I don't even know what the game like. I've seen some screenshots, and I've already like you just talked, and I just listened. I had no idea what the hell was actually happening.
You make words, I go okay.
They come through ears. That's all I know.
Oh man, no, I think you nailed it all. So. As far as I could tell, at least.
I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
I'm glad you told us about that the loot player, because that was definitely an entertaining story. It's compelling.
Anything,
I want to play the game just for the loot.
Get loot.
I want to know what happens now if you keep it.
Honestly, I kind of want to, too. If someone listening to the show gets the game and does it, you should write into them and let these guys know what happens, and they can tell me, and I can feel relieved to know that the mystery is solved. It's worth holding the flute. You can punch him square in the jaw. It would be great. You
know? I might have to pick this up and just to find out what the hell happens.
Yes, do it. One of the guys behind the game, the developers, just email and say, what happens? Please, somebody tell us.
We'd have to know.
This motherfucking loot play.
Game of loot, you son of a bitch. It's like, it's some crazy stuff. It's just, it's preposterous in its own awesome way. I don't know what else to say about it. Freaking loot. Minstrel bastard.
Well, that sounds good. So on that note, we're going to let you get going so you could take a nap.
All right, thank you. Thank you. This game is for that.
But thank you once again for covering this, and we'll talk with you later on.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
See you, man.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Hitchhiker, developed and published by Matthew Hall 3D, released as an Xbox-enabled title March 2nd on the Windows 10 store for $9.99. It was available previously without the Xbox functionality, but it was removed from the store and then re-released with the Xbox achievements, which I know caught your attention.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I get it.
Welcome to the big city where you play God. Control the traffic in order to get your character to the destination on time. Use power-ups like boosts and overtakes to give you an advantage over other cars. Level up and earn rewards that help you progress through the game. CJ, what did you think of this one?
this game's really unique. It doesn't really have a genre. Like, it's listed as a strategy game on TA, but it doesn't really seem like it's a strategy game either. It's sort of just its own game that's uniquely different. You play from a top-down perspective, and your goal is to get your character, which is just a random bystander, because they say you play God. I didn't even know. I was just like, who do you play in this game? And then you just flag down a car by clicking on the car, and then you can actually control the car, and you can tell your character to get in it if it comes by you, and you have like a few different abilities that you can use to get to the place that you want to be while you're hitchhiking. There's abilities like you can boost and overtake, like it said. Overtaking is basically going into the wrong lane and then driving extremely quickly to get around other cars. But you can crash that way, and then you're stuck, and you got to get out of that car and find another car. You cannot move while you're playing as that character. You have to be in a car in order to move, which is obvious for the game. I mean, if you could just walk to your destination, why would you need to hitchhike in the first place?
True.
Although a lot of the destinations seem like they could just be walkable. They're literally down the street sometimes. It's randomly generated for every level, to the point that each time you exit, if you don't like the layout of a level, you can just exit and reload it, and it'll be a different level.
Interesting.
Even though it's the same, level number, like it's still level 22 or whatever, it's just it now has a different layout. And oh my god, it stinks. My cat just took a shit.
Wonderful.
Oh god. I think if it had been executed better, this would be a really good game. But there are some glitches that are really annoying. For example, there's a power-up called the U-turn. Which, if the car's going in the opposite direction that you want it to, you can just U-turn it and then it'll go around. Problem is, if you accidentally double-click it or something, the car will just get stuck in the middle lane facing the wrong way.
Weird.
And then it'll just stay there. It's just stuck. Also, if you use an overtake while at an intersection, you'll just crash into a building. Like, your car will just turn and then crash into a building. And then as soon as it's your time to go in the intersection, you'll speed back up. Another issue with the intersections isn't really a glitch, but just they take forever. It feels awful. And when there's a limited amount of time to get to your destination, because there is a timer, and the faster you do it, the better your score and XP. It's not great when you're just stuck at an intersection for about 20 seconds in game, which, I mean, 20 seconds of real life, that would be great. But in a game where there's nothing happening while you're just in an intersection, that's incredibly boring.
Yeah, just sitting seems weird.
Yeah, it's not really great. And to add to that, the only entertainment source you have while sitting there is the soundtrack, which is, oh my god, it's bad. It doesn't really have like its own soundtrack, but rather just it seems like it has songs from artists in it who actually sing and play music like that, not like your typical game soundtrack. It's more like a GTA soundtrack.
So it's a licensed soundtrack.
Yes. Well, I didn't know the word for it. Thank you, Joe.
You're an idiot.
Learn something new every day. Wow, I thanked you, and now you're great. Thanks. Anyway.
Have you not listened to the show? That's kind of what I do.
No, I've never listened to it. In fact, today's my first day. Thanks. But anyway, there was one song that sounded like a mixture of like Papa Roach and any other generic rock band from the early 2000s. And it was not good.
I actually like the newer Papa Roach stuff.
Well, I said generic from the early 2000s. 3 Days Grace, which, I mean, they made a couple good songs, but you can't argue that they're very generic rock.
Oh, they're
bands.
Very generic. I've seen them in concert a few times. They're pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, they're generic. I love the Riot and Animal I've Become. Great songs, but very generic songs. This one's not great, though. Yep. This one's not great. It's something about like Whispers in the Wind or some shit. I can't even remember. I don't want to remember it.
Now please. I want to hear this song.
And then there's another song that's like a pop song sung by some chick, and it's just a bunch of ohs over and over again.
Interesting.
And then some words eventually. And it's just like, why? And then there's a couple other songs that I can't even be bothered to remember. Just by halfway through the game, I just took my headset off. I was just like, I'm done. I played the game without sound. I just couldn't stand it anymore. Overall, though, I mean, the game isn't a bad idea. I think if it would have been better executed and not as glitchy, maybe not bad songs, it could have been a lot of fun. They give you plenty of time to get to your destination. You level up quite quickly. I'd say if you're an achievement hunter, definitely pick this game up. I finished it in like 2 hours. It is an extremely quick 1,000 gamer score, so I mean, any achievement hunter would be glad that they added Xbox Live features to the game.
I am shocked that you're recommending a game because of achievements.
Oh no, I'm recommending it to achievement hunters, just like we always do when the game's easy. But as far as like the actual rating for it, I'd say it would probably be a hesitant try it, just because while the game is unique and for that alone, I think it should be played. If you enjoy unique games, it's not a very solid game. I think that it could have been made a lot better with just less glitches, more to it. Maybe if your destination wasn't literally feet away sometimes.
Well, that's the pitfalls of random generation.
Yeah, sometimes it'll be a whole way across the map. Sometimes it's like, and when it's the whole way across the map, you don't have any time to get there. And sometimes it'll be like, oh, it's the next block over. Cool. That's pointless. I could have just walked there less time than it took to find a car and then tell them how to get there. And then if they get mad at you, they'll kick you out. And then you got to find another car because they have a certain patience level with you. But I would say that this is definitely a hesitant try it at least. You know, just I don't think that it's bad. It's not like it's an awful game. It's not horribly messy. It's a little glitchy, but it's something that can be pretty much avoided if you just make sure not to do certain things like U-turn twice in a row, small things like that, and you should be able to play the game generally easily
enough.
And
it's very possible that he might hear this, the developer might hear this, and be like, oh, shit, I didn't know you could double-click on the U-turn thing and fix it, so...
Yeah, and I mean, it's possible, and it doesn't happen every time. It's not like it's every time you double tap. It's just, you know, sometimes when you do it, if you want to turn it too quickly because maybe you turn just a second too early and now the car's turned, but it's still too far past you, you know, and then you do it again and it's like, oh, shit. Well, now it's stuck.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I definitely don't think that this is bad enough to deserve a deny it. It's definitely still there and it's decent and it's very unique. I got to give credit for that. Very unique game. I don't think I've ever seen any other games like this.
Yeah, it's good to see developers try something new. So
yeah, sometimes new things just don't work, but I mean, it could have worked a little better without the glitches, I think, and perhaps inject a few more songs that aren't like that.
Cut my life into pieces.
God damn, that's the song I
hate that song so much.
I make fun of it all the time.
Like, I enjoy Papa Roach. I fucking hate Last Resort.
The worst thing is my stepbrother listens to it unironically. He actually enjoys the song.
Well, it's their most popular song, so.
Yeah, I suppose.
But if you kind of gave up on Papa Roach years ago, check out their album, The Connection. It's significantly different, and it's really, really good. Their album afterwards, Fear, was...
Oh, Joe, you know I only listen to two bands.
Do you?
Yeah. It's quiet now. Did you want me to tell you what they were?
I mean, if you want.
I mean, I guess. I listened to Hollywood Undead and I listened to Finger 11.
Weird.
And Finger 11 is not a popular choice. Based off just their YouTube views alone, I can tell that they're not that popular aside from the song Paralyzer.
Very weird. Hey, you can't forget one thing. One thing was huge for them.
Yeah, that's one song I've never bothered listening to, even though I've listened to songs with like less than 100,000 views, but I haven't listened to that one with three some million on that YouTube channel.
Fucking One Thing is what made them popular.
Is it? I mean, yes. Paralyzer is extremely big.
One Thing was before Paralyzer, so yes, One Thing is what made them popular.
I don't like Paralyzer anyway, so it doesn't matter. I like their other songs.
Stay in Shadow is good. Their version of Kane's theme from WWE was fucking amazing. I wish he would go back to that song.
I liked that one. That was a really good one. Above was great back when they were like 1990s, fucking wearing old ass clothes that were popular back then. I liked music from that time, even though I was only a wee child.
Oh, wee babby.
Well, I'm not paralyzed, but I still
I hate that song. Actually, I don't hate it. I don't like that it's that. I think the thing is, its popularity is what turned me off. Because they have so much better music that it's like, why did that one have to be the good one? They got big.
Because it's catchy?
I mean, I guess, but their other music's also catchy. I think that they deserve to be bigger than they are, but then again, they take too many breaks. I don't think they. I don't even know if they've made a song in the last few years.
Yeah, I don't know. Why are we still talking about this?
I don't know. I'm waiting for you to transition into the next game.
I was waiting for a delay so I could fucking edit in the other review.
Well, then do that now.
Hey, here's Chris Taylor's review, clearly not edited in. Next game to talk about is called Clouds and Sheep 2, developed and published by Handy Games, released February 21st on the PlayStation 4 for $9.99. It was previously available on Xbox, Steam, and mobile. We actually covered this on Xbox a while back, but we figure with the PS4 release, we'd get Chris Taylor involved in this. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've been playing the world's most like anticipated game of 2017.
Clouds and Sheep
2? Horizon Zero Dawn?
Clouds and Sheep 2.
So, yeah.
We basically dogpiled that joke.
Yeah, we did. Except for CJ, who had to say Horizon Zero Dawn.
Well, I knew he was leading towards the other one, so I figured I'd go with that.
Oh, yeah, the Zelda game.
Thing is, yeah, Horizon really was one of the most anticipated games.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but I figured the Chris Taylor, who brought it up as soon as I showed up in the Skype call.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't have the new Zelda game yet. On my stream today, I decided to play the CDI Zelda. Link, the Faces of Evil. I'll probably do some more of that tomorrow, even. So,
why?
You know.
Joe's dying laughing, and I don't
know
why.
Why the fuck would you play the CDI ones? What is wrong
because
with
I you? Have, because I have a CDI, and it weighs 90 pounds, and there's only two good games for it. And I already beat one of them, so...
Oh my
god. I'm gonna play the Zelda. I have to.
The Zelda?
Mm. Here in the South, we call it Zelda.
Nice. So yeah, anyway, Clouds and Sheep 2. Description for this one. Feed them, play with them, and they will love you back. Solve countless quests and fulfill your woolly friends' needs. Plant grass, flowers, trees, and decorate different pastures to make them even more beautiful. Control the clouds and make it rain, or protect your flock from dangerous thunder. Provide your sheep with food, accessories, toys, and more, and style them with funny costumes. Let's start and become the best shepherd in the world. I do want to point out that there's no reason to protect a flock from thunder. Maybe from lightning.
Yeah.
Well, they get scared. It's just like the same way you protect your dog when they get... Well, we wouldn't know anything about that, but some people protect their
dogs. Thunder's not really dangerous. It's spooky.
But in the context of this game, oh sorry, go ahead.
No, they just need comfort. I'm good.
Okay. In the context of this game, these sheep are not. They show no fear. They're absolutely stupid. So you are protecting them from lightning, but because they do not scared of thunder. So yes, Clouds and Sheep 2. Basically, it's an RTS. A little bit. Tower defense for sheep, a little bit of civilization in there too. You're basically just going all the time, like trying to micromanage these, these flocks. So it's basically presented in this really cutesy, cartoony way. It looks like a really elaborate mobile game, so I'm not surprised to hear that it was on mobile. But basically, yeah, you start with a farm and a sheep, and they drop them on, and then, like, endless tutorials start. In fact, I've been playing it for several hours now, and the tutorials have not stopped.
And is it all new information, or do they just keep stockpiling?
Just every time you unlock something, it unlocks a little at a time.
Mm.
And considering you're already trying to keep your head above water, metaphorically speaking, it's like anytime they introduce something new, you're like, all right, I'll get to it. And they're like, we've advanced a little further. Let's explain four more things for you. Like, no, I can't even remember what you told me last time. So basically, like, even though it's a cutesy taking care of sheep game, like, what you're really taking care of are resources. So when you do things for your sheep that they like, which you can basically telecommunicate with the sheep by holding a button down on it, and he tells you what he's thinking of. And if you fulfill these requirements and just throw them around the air, literally you can pull their tails and slingshot them across the farm, and they love it. funny stuff like that. Like, then you get happiness points, which can be exchanged for things like using the shears to, like, shear their wool. And then, you know, flowers grow and grass grows, and you can basically grab the clouds. This is the clouds part of the game, and make it rain to grow more plants. If you make your cloud too big, it becomes a thundercloud, and then that's where the danger comes in. But you can dissipate the clouds through your mental magic, and you can pick petals. You can extract wood from trees and wool from the sheep, and all these are resources that you basically have to manage in a way, because, like, for instance, if you use up your wool to make a stylish hat for your sheep, and then you give the hat to the sheep, then that's all well and good. Now the sheep is naked, and if nighttime comes too many times and your sheep gets too cold, it can die.
Oh god.
Oh, no. So thank you for that effect.
Sheep murder.
Yes. So sheep murder is actually something that I played it with my girlfriend Catherine. Because you can play up to four players simultaneously, and that I think is a huge strong point for this game, because micromanaging with three other people is hilariously, like, chaotic.
Sounds like a lot of, like, fighting.
Yeah, yeah. I think we actually did fight some while doing this. So, like, you can mate the sheep, and the mating in this game obviously is a very PG game. PG because, of course, the sheep can die.
yes.
But
it's always, okay, PG.
So if you have two adult sheep that are opposite sex, and you feed them flowers instead of extracting the petals from the flowers, then they get, like, love, you know, hearts around their eyes, and then you, like, put them in front of each other, and then they say sweet nothings into each other's ears, and then a heart pops out of that, and you take that heart and drag it into a cloud, and that cloud becomes a little tiny baby sheep. A lamb.
Mm-hmm. Sounded a lot like Minecraft until you had to drag the heart.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a sense, that's what you're doing, is you're manufacturing another sheep, which gives you more product, which, you know, you have a hard limit on that too until you expand your land, which requires resources. As I said, it's very much a resource management game. And also we found out, which is something that we were proud of, because it's possibly the only thing that there's not a tutorial of, is we found out if you put a heart into a black thundercloud, it turns into a black sheep.
Hey.
Also, yeah. So interesting stuff like that. The game is actually, at first I kind of dismissed it. I was a little bit like, oh, okay, so it's basically a mobile game and you just drag around your sheep and collect things, and, you know, it's okay.
And you help them fuck.
Yeah. And, well,
PG, Joe. Jeez.
You help them boink.
That's better.
Yeah. But then once I played it with Catherine, it was actually a lot more fun and a lot more chaotic. And so I'm now appreciating the depth of, like, just stupid things that this game throws at you. And it's actually pretty, like, you could easily while away some hours with this game on, like, on the daily, because you gain levels, you get new terrains that you can throw your sheep into. We unlocked the winter background, and we sent our sheep there, and then that's where they all got killed by a thunderstorm.
Oh god.
She accidentally zapped them all with lightning until they died. You control the lightning. You can tell the cloud when to shoot, and she was doing something and accidentally touched the cloud too many times and murdered our whole flock. And so we went back to the farm where things are easy, and raise them anew. So that kind of drama in what is essentially like a cute mobile game is, I think, pretty high marks for old Clouds and Sheep 2. So,
oh, man.
So it's a pretty fun game.
I remember, I believe our friend Jacob covered this one back on Steam when it originally released, and I know one of his biggest complaints was the fact that they just seemed to throw way too much shit at you too frequently. Did you seem to have the same issue?
Yeah, I mean, I ignored most of it. Like, I never got around to, like, because sometimes the sheep would be like, I want to be a different color or something like that. Like, they wanted a paintbrush. And so I look through the menu and I look at paintbrush, and the paintbrush costs 10 wool. And so I'm like, no, screw you, sheep. You're not getting this paintbrush because I need the paintbrush to make the land bigger because I need more sheep so I can get more wool so I can turn you different colors. You goddamn sheep. And that's really the push and pull of the game is that, yeah, they throw all these new things at you while you're still trying to, like, balance out your resources and, you know. But without going over, because obviously you have a cap on how many resources you can have, that you can also expand that cap. So it's like all this stuff going on. But I feel like you can actually ignore most of it and just focus on as much stuff as you can do without it becoming too much of a problem. Like, nice. I said, you just have to watch out for things like letting your sheep, like, starve to death or get too cold or get blasted by several rounds of lightning by your girlfriend.
Important key factor there is by your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Important stuff.
If you don't have a girlfriend, you don't have to worry about lightning in the game, actually.
Yes. Well, it can lightning on its own, or your stupid thumbs can do it, but, you know, I suppose the threat is diminished somewhat.
True. So, yeah, it seems like where he got frustrated with how much stuff it threw at him, you just didn't give a shit and seemed to enjoy it a lot more.
I was going to say, maybe he's just bad at it.
Maybe.
Maybe I'm the best.
Maybe.
Oof. That's hard. That's hard language.
Yeah, it is. I don't know who this person is. He's probably lovely.
Yeah, you know, hit or miss.
Okay.
Sounds about like everybody else on the show.
Oh, and of course, the music in Clouds and Sheep 2 is really lovely. It's kind of acoustical and really pastoral, to, you know, in a sense. Yeah, there's a double meaning there.
I just got a mention on Twitter that Catherine's saying she has very smart thumbs.
Yeah. She's over there tweeting, like, live tweeting my review all across the room.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was she talking a minute ago? Because we
does she want to come on and say anything about this?
Catherine, do you want to come on and say something about the game? All right, come over here.
I feel I should make it known I have very smart thumbs. They're the smartest. And I know. I know thumbs.
Catherine Bailey, tripping over the cat, everyone.
Yay.
Hey.
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 So, I have very smart thumbs.
We knew you were going to say that somehow.
And I feel a little bit hurt in my heart that it would be assumed that I don't have smart thumbs, when really it was Chris's fault for moving his cursor around the screen all the time, so I kept losing control of my cloud.
Well, give us the truth. What is the truth behind this? Because obviously we know Chris is a horrible liar.
Yes.
And he's bad at games. So what is the truth here?
Well, you just said it. The truth is that Chris is just the biggest liar ever.
Man, what a piece of shit.
I know. I mean, I really feel like a martyr sometimes. For everything that I have to put up with, I mean,
well, you did have to play Clouds and Sheep too,
and I had to make my own cup of coffee just now. What was that about?
Man, what bullshit! Put him to work.
But the game, it was really fun. But, like, I had to make myself stop playing.
Nice.
Well, that's always good.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So I have to go study for midterms. This is done. Because it's one of those games where, like, you reach one goal, and then but you already have another goal. So you say, okay, I can just play for, like, 2 more minutes, because then I can get this thing. And then you get that thing, and you're like, oh, but then I want to put this hat. I want to put the Santa hat on Brian, because Brian needs a hat. And then stupid Brian is like, oh, now I want a new hat. It's like, fuck you, Brian. You just got a new hat.
He's throwing her on the trampoline.
It's true.
I love that. Fuck you, Brian. You just got a hat.
I like this review so much better than when Jacob reviewed it.
Well, you just had to read his shit.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you, Brian.
But it's true, though, because you just got him a new hat. He's like worse than a fucking 2-year-old who's like, oh, I want more snack, but you haven't finished what you had. Oh, this is done.
Oh, man. Fantastic.
So, yeah, Clouds and Sheets too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, bottom line, what do the two of you think? For $10, what's your final verdict?
$10, I dig it. I think it would be better suited to a tablet, but
which it is available on mobile and on tablets, so that makes sense.
Oh, okay, yeah, then like absolutely for a tablet, because it would be playing it with a control.
I'm gonna say it's a definite buy if you can find between one other and three other people to help you manage these sheep, because that actually wound up being more fun than the single player. So. PS4 for couch multiplayer, for sure.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
I would say it's a definite buy it at that point.
Nice.
Well, that was definitely more positive than his review as well. You actually made me want to play the game, whereas him, he made me not really care.
Well, it's really fun. It's just, it's more fun playing
with
it with
people.
Someone. Yeah, that you can fight with while you're playing it.
I don't know if the iOS version or the mobile version has multiplayer or not.
I'd assume probably not, considering how small a tablet would be.
If you're going to play it by yourself, get it on a tablet. But if you're going to play it with some people, which is objectively way more fun, get it on a console.
I know I'm looking at it on the App Store. It's a free-to-play game on App Store, so you probably got to deal with a lot of microtransactions that way.
Ew,
gross.
And at least the console version, it's like a buy it and you're good.
Yeah, that's a big difference. That can sway some people.
Pay the $10, folks. Get yourself some Clouds and Sheeps 2s.
Yes, that's the name.
Clouds and Sheeps 2s.
When you add S's on the ends of things, it makes it sound better.
Sounds as better, sisters. I think we're all Gollum now.
It's chooses.
It's chooses.
Well, thank the both of you for taking some time with Clouds and Sheep 2. Do either of you have any final words on the game?
It's Clouds, it's Sheeps, it's 2s.
I concur.
All right, sounds good. Thank you both of you.
You're welcome.
Right, thanks, Joe.
Next game to talk about is called Lords of the Fallen on mobile. Got to keep that in mind, on mobile, because we all know that it came out already on other things. Developed and published by CI Games, it released February 9th on iOS and Android for $9.99. In a world plagued by fearsome monsters, only 3 heroes have the strength and cunning needed to look Titan in the face. Oh, my God, Cat, why are you clawing my leg right now? Really? Really?
That's really awesome that's a part of the description to the game.
Oh, it's a great part of the game. Now, my one cat, Piddle, she'll, come up to the desk, she'll claw into my leg and look at me, and as soon as I, bend down to pick her up, she runs away.
What an asshole.
Seriously. Oh, man. Where the fuck was I?
So, in the description,
only 3 heroes have the strength and cunning needed to look Titan in the face and make them fall. Lords of the Fallen is a mysterious fighting fantasy game with big battles, bigger monsters, and intuitive gameplay that can only exist on a touchscreen device. because it doesn't already exist on non-touch screen devices.
Also, I'm confused on how this game is going to play on mobile.
Our friend Jacob Garner covered this one and sent in his review. So let's read that one quick for a moment here. Lords of the Fallen for iOS and Android, released by CI Games, is a hack and slash game based on a game of the same title released for current gen consoles back in 2014. I don't know how it compares to the original title, as I don't have an Xbox One. If someone would like to donate one to me or become my sugar daddy, sugar mama, that sounds rather splendid. No? Fine. Okay. On to the review. Darkness has taken over the land, and it's up to you and two other characters to rid the land of evil, blah, 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 and so on. I love his write-ups sometimes.
It's an interesting amount of personality for what's written on a piece of paper. Well, not really, but...
standard hack-and-slash plotline. The game walks you through this map on... The game walks you through this map on different locations you need to walk through. That sounds weird. Defeating enemies who just stand around waiting for you. You can engage them in combat if you wish, or look at the beautiful scenery. Locations are broken up into 5 to 10 minute chunks, which makes the game perfect for commutes, work breaks, waiting for Joe to finish, flopping around on top of you, etc.
Jesus.
Oh my lord. The
Once really came out swinging with this one.
Seriously. Maybe because I've been bugging him all fucking night for the review and he just got it to me. God, I keep losing my place. Right now. Once you engage them in combat, you need to keep slashing your weapon at them and defending against their attacks by either parrying or getting out of the way. I never really felt like the controls were particularly responsive, nor does it really explain its combat and its item systems particularly well. There are quick time events in this as well, which again didn't seem particularly responsive and involve you rolling around on the ground to dodge rocks. Dodge attacks. Why can't I read?
Yeah, dodge rocks.
Yeah, dodge rocks. Rolling around on the ground to dodge attacks. The control layout ideally seems fine on an iPhone until you have notifications pop up, which will then block you from seeing your magic attack buttons, which can ruin your chances of winning a fight. I'd recommend turning off all notifications while playing this game, although this might not be an issue on an iPad due to the larger screen. The enemies do give some degree of difficulty, but there's nothing that some grinding can't fix. The game already sets you back $10, but for an extra $50, good lord, making the total price that of a regular console video game, you can get all of the upgrades and bells and whistles that you'd ever need to just breeze through the game. The glory of microtransactions. Like hey, the beauty of microtransactions, I guess.
Yeah.
Insane. I feel like that is a tad ridiculous, as the game isn't too difficult. Yeah, you'll need to grind a bit, but it doesn't take that long to beat what was giving you problems 20 to 30 minutes ago, and unlocking achievements provides you with extra cash. The animations aren't particularly well done, especially for the finishing moves, which have you stabbing the enemy in the same three spots, even if that enemy doesn't have a body part there to stab. It's fairly sloppy, which is a shame because the game looks gorgeous. It's probably the most beautiful iOS game I've ever played, and I wish I could just wander around the areas and marvel at the world they've created. For the steep $9.99 price, I'd recommend waiting to get this game on sale. The best thing about the game is the graphics, but the lack of complexity to just about everything else makes the original price a tad ludicrous. Not to mention those microtransactions.
Yeah. This doesn't seem like the kind of game that would have transferred well to mobile in the first place. Just looking at I know this game. This does not seem like one that would really work on a mobile platform.
Anyway, last game to talk about tonight is called Bloons TD 5. TD stands for Tower Defense 5, developed and published by Ninja Kiwi, released March 3rd on Xbox One for $14.99, was previously available on Steam for $9.99, and pretty much every web browser and mobile tablet thing in the world. 5-star tower defense with unrivaled depth and replayability. The Bloons are back. Bloons, not balloons, just Bloons. are back in full HD glory, and this time they mean business. Build awesome towers, choose your favorite upgrades, hire cool new special agents, and pop every last invading balloon in the best ever version of the most popular tower defense game. This game is fucking addictive.
It's awesome, too.
Like,
I haven't played this version, but I loved it as a kid.
For the people who don't grasp the concept of what this is, basically, it is a tower defense game where your towers and turrets and everything else are monkeys. And you have to defend whatever, I guess your village or the exit in general, from balloons. Ranging from just standard red balloons to ceramic balloons to metal balloons, camouflage balloons, giant fucking zeppelins, even bigger fucking zeppelins, even bigger, bigger fucking zeppelins.
Just very big zeppelins.
That when you pop them, they, you know, break down into smaller versions. Or, you know, you could pop like one balloon and it breaks down into like 10 balloons. Shit like that.
Yep.
So there is just a constant stream of balloons that you got to stop. The game is, like I said, ridiculously addictive, ridiculously fun. There is tons, like an ungodly amount of stages, challenges. They have random daily challenges. They have 10 special, like super special challenges that have achievements tied to them that I'm sure people are going to lose their fucking minds over. There's just so much to do in this game. The biggest problem I have is that you can tell this used to be a free-to-play game, which, you know, everyone knows this used to be a free-to-play game. The problem is it doesn't seem very well balanced to no longer being free-to-play. And I say that because you complete a stage on easy, which is 50 rounds of gameplay, which, you know, and unless you're using the super speed up mode, can take, God, 20, 30 minutes. And that's, you know, with planning and everything else. And once you finally get through that, you earn $150. If you want to upgrade, like, any towers one level, it's, like, $500.
Wow.
It just seems like an ungodly grind, which in most games would be a huge detriment, but in this game, it is stupidly addictive. It is so addictive, in fact, that the entire time we've been recording this show, I have been playing it.
And might I add that you don't have a single achievement, but you have over 10 hours.
Yeah, not one fucking achievement in the game. None.
So many achievements available, but they're all so ridiculous.
I'll tell you why. Let's see. The closest one that I'm 28% of the way to is collect 50 tokens. You earn like one when you beat easy.
Wow.
Yeah. Destroy 5,000 MOBAs, which are like the giant Zeppelin balloons. Activate all upgrades for attack speed. The first one is 1, and then it's 2, and then it's 4, or no, then it's 3, 4, 5. It takes a lot of tokens to do it. Pop 250,000 camo balloons. Win all tracks on any difficulty, and there's a lot of tracks in the game. Destroy 2,000 BFBs, which are like even bigger Zeppelins. Activate all upgrades for this, all upgrades for this. Pop 250,000 ceramic balloons. Here's a good one for 100 gamer score. Pop 50 million balloons.
Yep, dude, this game is easily 200 plus hours. Jesus. What a long one.
It is ridiculous. A lot of people might question why it's 15 instead of 10. I believe it's because they added online co-op, which, yes, you can play online with your friends in this, and it makes it even crazier. There's shit like win 250 random missions, which I think I've beaten one because the shit can get so tough. The random missions are basically, we're going to give you 4 random troop types, and that's all you can use.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah. And the game, it can get tough. It is deceptively easy at first, but if you are not smart and you don't prepare for every balloon type, you're going to get fucked hard, like super, super hard.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, but you'll keep coming back and you'll keep playing because you can't stop. I don't know if you're legally allowed to stop. It's very possible.
Well, it sounds like this game's going to be great for the only $15, and you're going to be spending a lot of time on this.
I did see that there is one achievement I can easily get, which is complete any track in reverse for 5 gamer score, and even that is a rare achievement.
That's insanity. I wonder if any achievement in this game will ever become not rare.
There are a couple, but I don't know if they're just doing certain missions that are just nothing but the giant zeppelins, but destroy 2,000 BFBs and 5,000 MOABs, MOABs, those are not rare.
Huh.
And there
might
like
be missions
20%.
That are like specifically like
everything else has that diamond.
What a beautiful, beautiful diamond.
It is ridiculous how insane this game is.
But it looks incredibly fun.
Oh, it is. It is ridiculously fun. It's just ungodly difficult as well.
I mean, this game does look way more complicated than the originals on, like, the Flash sites and shit.
But it's cool as fuck. Sorry, I was swallowing. There was spit in my mouth, and I had to swallow.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought my internet went for a second, because you were just like, nothing.
Yeah, just mouthful of...
I understand. That happens.
But yeah, This game, Jesus, it is just... I hate how much of a grind it is. Because it is, like... There's grinds, and then there's this. And this is... Like, it ungodly. It actively hurts the game, in my opinion. But it is so fun and so addictive that you just, like, deal with it.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point, if you played the game enough, in a few years, you might actually finish it.
I mean, I guess it's possible.
I mean, the closest person to finishing it still has a long way to go, and they put 69 hours in.
69 hours. Just think about that. 69 hours into a game.
Yeah, and that's like, there's an achievement for winning 250, or there's like an achievement every 50, and they've only got the achievement for winning 50 random missions out of the 250 random missions so far.
Yeah, it is. There is just so much in this game. I wish this game wasn't like I wish it wasn't a premium game where you just paid, or I at least wish it had some kind of microtransaction in there so I could just pay some money and get some fucking tokens or get some fucking cash so I can
get I bet the developers this. Never expected to hear that people wished there was microtransactions in a game.
People are saying, like, the money that you earn in the game, save it up so you get $7,500 because you can buy double cash mode. And what that does is when you pop a balloon in the game, you get $1. With this, you get $2. And
that would be better.
That may not seem like much, but that shit adds up. And that basically turns the game kind of into an easy mode thing. But
have you bought that yet?
No, because I can't get that much fucking money. That's $7,500.
How much do you have right now, right? Out of question.
I think I'm at 9.
900?
Yeah.
I was hoping you said 9. I was like hoping, please don't mean like $9.
I think I'm at $900. I did buy like 2 things. If I didn't spend anything, I might be at like 2,000.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
But still, like, I have put so much fucking time in this game, and I feel I have done nothing.
You haven't even scratched the surface.
I really haven't. That said, for $15, this is a fucking buy it. When I first started, I was like, it's a try. It's just, it's too grindy. If I have spent this much time on the game and I'm still playing it during the show, the only answer I could give is a buy it.
Yeah.
Because I can't stop playing it.
This is the kind of game that's like, this is not the game that I feel like you're going to be sitting down and playing it for hours on end. I feel like this is the kind of game that you're just going to keep coming back to every day for like an hour.
Yeah.
And just keep playing it every day.
Oh, you think it'll be an hour? You're fucking wrong.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It is just, it's so fun. It is so good. But yeah, buy it, buy it, buy it, buy it, buy it. On that note, that is it for now. We are going to take a musical break, and we will be right back with Ricky Knight of On the Level Games and another guest who doesn't want to be named, but we're gonna call her out anyway, because that's what we do on this show. Because yep. We're dicks.
Exactly. You can't stay hidden in this environment.
We don't let you stay hidden. We don't do that on this show. So yeah, stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am joined by two fantastic guests at this time. One who doesn't want to be named, Amy Blair, hanging out. Maverick PR. Can't name you, but you're here. But for real, our guest at this time is Ricky Knight of On the Level Games. Ricky, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty good. CJ, you're still around too.
Yeah, I'm always around, actually.
Yeah, usually.
That's good.
Oh, no. Even when I'm not talking, I'm still there. Even when I'm not in the Skype call, I'm still there.
That's creepy.
In spirit.
No, I'm actually there.
I'm staring at you. But, Ricky, you are here to talk to us today about your game, Rockin' Rogue, a Boo Bunny Plague Adventure, correct?
Correct.
For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch.
Okay, I'm terrible with the sales pitch.
Do you need to tag in for help?
No, it's basically a dungeon crawler hack and slash like you really haven't imagined before. You know, it's musically influenced. It's got really wacky characters, more cartoony than serious. Most of these dungeon crawlers you see are real serious RPGs, you know. And that's one of the things when I went to PAX East and I believe it was PAX South and showed this off that everybody loved was the cartoony characters in that situation. You know, it's a little different. So we went with that and I just kept my previous comedy and musical stuff from the first game and tied it all together. And here we are.
I didn't realize there was a first game to this until last night while I was browsing around Steam. I saw that there was a first game, and that's more of like a third-person action-adventure, right?
Correct, it is.
What led to the change to go from a third-person action-adventure to more of like a top-down dungeon crawler Diablo-style game?
Mostly feedback from our customers. You know, they really liked it, but the game, like, all the reviews were pretty consistent. The gameplay, they were down on a little bit. They loved the comedy, the writing, the music. So that kind of showed us, at that time, our studio consisted of a lot of guys just out of college or interns that we'd hired on, you know. We were a lot of inexperienced people, you know, making a video game. And we kind of figured that that's what happened on the first game. So on this one, the staff for the actual company was cut a little bit, and we hired outsourcers to actually do this. And that's pretty much how the Diablo-style dungeon crawler came, because these guys were really good at doing that. And it was, we had a consultant we worked with, and it was suggested to us, and that's how it came to life, and we kind of went with it. I wish, I mean, you know, looking back, I wish we had more time, and we had more people and more money to throw at the pile, you know, and it would have more to it, but there's a lot of features that people want now we didn't get in, you know, and that stuff doesn't come to light until afterwards, so not much you can do about it, but, I mean, it is what it is. It came to light because our first game wasn't as great, and we wanted to improve the gameplay, and that was a way to do it, was to totally change it and go with something that works.
I mean, to be fair, doesn't every developer wish they had more time and money?
I think so. I've learned that. Talking to the more and more professional developers I meet, the more I learn they go through the same thing. So, yeah, it's true. Time, money, and manpower. I mean, mostly. Good manpower, you can't put a price on that, but, you know, you have to sometimes.
No. Yeah.
How did you even come up with the idea of the Boo Bunny thing? It's so outlandish and weird.
Well, it's kind of an amalgamated idea. Boo Bunny Plague was actually the name of my rabbit when I was younger. And the name just kind of came. And when I, 5 years ago, when I was a tattoo artist, and my friend Jeff Reimert, he is the CEO of On the Level Games, he called me and said he was starting a game studio and wanted me to come down. And I came down, and we started work on our first game, which was Curse of the Nordic Cove, which was kind of a golf and melee. You basically beat up ghosts on a golf course and while you're playing nine holes of golf. It sounds wacky, but it wasn't done very well either.
And what platform is this on?
It's on Steam, Curse of the Nordic Cove. You can find it. And anyway, we did that, and I came in and met the crew, and the audio guy, his name is, he goes by Bunny, Bunny Dast. And through his personality and stuff, I kind of designed and created the robot Bunny, and the character came to life through his voice. And basically at that point, we were at some downtime from Curse of the Nordic Cove, so I started tooling around and teaching myself to do Unity script, JavaScripting in Unity. And I made a one-level demo with that. Was basically the first game, Boo Bunny Plague. The first level in that game is actually that one level demo I did. So, the audio guy put his voice on it, and from there it just blew up. And I threw in a bunch of other characters that I've had floating in my head since my 20s, and the god Ganesh, and basically made a malfunctioning robot rabbit that's pretty crazy that goes around and fights gods. That's pretty much what the whole first game is you're fighting gods. Second game is not much saner, you know, you're going
it's like God of War but with a robotic bunny brought to life.
Yes, exactly. And in the second game, Rock and Rogue is pretty much going through nine levels of hell having a battle of the bands with different genres of music represented. So it's just my insanity come to life. There you go.
Hey, insanity is always a good thing to have.
Oh yeah,
and the bosses in this game is just as wacky. Yep. I love some of the music that you guys put in, like the first boss fight with the rapper.
Yeah, MC Chris.
Yeah,
MC Chris.
I thought I recognized that was him. I knew he was in the game, and I figured that was him right away. That was a great song.
That's the first boss, G64. That is MC Chris doing the voice and the song. Our audio guy, Bunny, wrote the music, and MC Chris insisted on writing all his own lyrics, so he read through some of the script and got familiar with his character and just wrote it.
How did you get him involved with the game?
Very long process of getting in touch with him through his website. First we got his booking agent, and we made the request with his booking agent, and his booking agent eventually got fed up and said, I don't even know what to do, because usually I book shows at concert venues, and put us directly in touch with him. And then, I mean, it was a slow process, you know, because he's pretty busy, so But he eventually got back to us, and this was at the point when he just had his child, and he moved to L.A. to pursue his voice acting career. Go figure. And basically, we had to let him record there, and we directed through Skype. So we rented out a studio in California. He went and recorded everything while we watched in on Skype and gave directions.
That's pretty cool. I can't say that I recognize anybody else. Was there anybody else in the game that you guys had to put a lot of work in or were really cool to have, like, in the game?
Everybody else is local talent returning from the first game, so pretty much all in studio. The EDM guy, the squirrel, the one who's kind of a Deadmau5 parody, that's actually one of the employees' wife's brother. Puke, the punk rock British rabbit, he is a friend of our audio director, and let me think. I think everybody else was us. Yeah, it's all just us in house.
Nice.
Well, so I take it you guys have.
I've been incredibly lucky with these guys and their talent, their musical talent, and their voice talent. So, it's been a good ride.
I believe it, man. I really like the game. I think that the change into the Diablo style definitely suited this game a lot. Like, I feel like it played really good. And I haven't played the original, but I like
it's only $2, CJ. That's no excuse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the excuse is that before I'd seen this game, I had never heard of Boo Bunny before.
Okay, I guess that's an excuse.
I really liked it.
I like the Diablo transition too, but unfortunately that also put us in the position where everybody's comparing us to Diablo.
Yeah.
And we don't have the size of the studio to pull off everything they did with all the items and equipment changing and the really fleshed out experience system, and I think that's hurt us a little bit in some of the reviews, but it is what it is. You know, we're an indie company, we're small. We did what we could, and I think we made a pretty good game regardless.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves on this show, is people who review games based on what they aren't. Like, it isn't fair to judge a sub-$10 indie game developed by a studio of, what, less than a dozen?
Correct.
Compared to goddamned Activision Blizzard.
Yep.
How is that fair to compare those two products?
I mean, they pull in $1 million a week on World of Warcraft? Come on. they've got a workforce going for them, so it's not fair, but it's just the way it is. I mean, it's been that way since reviews began. I mean, it was that way with movies, everything. You know, someone always compares it to something else.
It's ridiculous. That's definitely true. This YouTube web show isn't nearly as good as the Oscar winners that I'm used to watching. No shit, Sherlock. It's a YouTube web show.
Yeah.
It just bugs me so much when people complain about what games aren't. That's why I'm so glad to say that we review games based on what they are, what you are doing right, you know, what is in your game that is right, which, you know, from the time that my computer let me play it, I was having a lot of fun. It's just fun to have a good hack and slash dungeon crawler. Sure, my computer doesn't like the game. It also doesn't like anything I do ever. So that's not your fault, though.
I know.
Exactly.
I appreciate that, though. That's good to hear. I mean, I'm glad, you know, I'm glad there are people out there who get it.
And, I mean, we don't do the traditional setup of, you know, rating it by number system, but I believe I'd give this game a buy it. Like, I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, thank you. I mean, the price, even the price it's at now, it's not that big of a risk anyway, you know?
Exactly.
$8.99.
I can't believe that you guys are going to lower the price. It's really worth what it is.
We should talk about that officially, because we mentioned that briefly before the recording started. But PR lady Amy, who is trying to stay hidden this whole show, has said that you guys are looking into dropping the price, right?
Correct. Yes, we are. So we've been listening to feedback. The people are, you know, it's the feedback and the wish list. The wish list is growing, and it's not reflecting on the units sold. So, you know, there's something going on there. It's just not the right price range for people to take the risk. Steam is very volatile, you know, playground right now, because it's something like 35% of all games on Steam were released just last year. It's something like that. Don't quote me the exact number, but it's something like
that. Oh, you've been quoted.
So, okay, there you go. 35%, that's it. Steam's wrong, I'm right. Anyway. But yeah, it's really hard getting out there. And now it's different because there's so many things fighting for that time on their front page. And now they have the under $10 section and they have the under $5 section. So you got to try to get on as many places as you can and just to try to push the units and try to give people the deal they want.
Are you looking into doing more of just like a temporary sale or a full-on price drop?
I would prefer to go the sale route, but we're not going to be able to do that soon enough. They limit you on how long you can go before you do a sale. So I think our next sale will be March 24th before we're allowed to do another one.
Mm.
So that's how Steam works. They have all kinds of consumer protection acts and stuff that they have to follow guidelines to. So, I mean, I get it, but it is what it is.
Out of curiosity, what is going to be the new price?
I believe they're going $4.99 to get us on that under $5 list.
Wow. That's $4 cheaper. Damn.
Yep. It's almost in half.
That seems ridiculously cheap for the game.
Correct. At $5, everybody that listens to the show better buy it.
That's the hope. Right there. It's make it even more of a no-brainer. I mean, I get it, you know. I have a problem when I'm looking at games. I put a price in my head on what I'm going to do, but I also don't read or listen to reviews much. I make my own decisions based off research usually. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm a writer. I'm an animator. I'm the artist. I leave the financial decisions up to the other people, to be honest with you.
Well, hopefully, at least with this, I mean, it sucks that you had to drop the price. I really do believe it's worth the $9, but hopefully this gets some more sales and starts pushing more people to actually try the game.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys considered doing anything special for the people who have bought it at full price? I know, like, Nintendo, when they did the price drop on the DS, how they gave people, you know, the ambassador program with, like, the free virtual console stuff, or some games will, like, give free soundtracks or discounts on upcoming games. Is there anything that you guys are looking into doing for any customers who might feel a bit disappointed that, hey, I paid $9 for this and now it's going to be half price almost?
It's something we need to look into still. We're limited by what Steam allows us to do since we're in distribution on their network. So, I mean, yeah, if I could, I'd give everybody a copy of the free game, the first game or something, you know, but I just don't know if they allow it or how to set it up through them. So,
Well, like you said, you don't handle the management of, like, the money stuff, so.
No.
Everybody gets a thank you phone call from MC Chris.
Yeah. Good luck waiting on that. It takes forever to get a hold of that guy.
He was funny in the game. I really enjoyed his performance in there.
Glad you guys got him.
I love that guy, man. He's so funny and underrated, you know?
Now, you performed as the drummer, correct?
Yes.
The robot drummer. I want to thank you just because you had the line, "Cheese it, it's the fuzz" in the game.
Thank you.
Any game that has that line wins points in my book.
Well, I wrote all the lines, so there you go. Any of them you like, blame me.
Cheese it, it's the fuzz.
Yeah, that was a fun scene. The character Gani Ganesh is played by my friend Scott, who is an actual Hindu from New York. So that's his natural accent, and he's tied into that character because that's one of the gods in that pantheon, you know? And just the whole thing with that character from the first game is he quotes a lot of Wu-Tang Clan and stuff like that. Like, he's really into hip-hop. And this one, you know, with the police showing up at the end. Spoiler alert, sorry. Police showing up at the end, and, you know, what better reason to fight the cops than saying, what the hell, I was listening to NWA all the way over here anyway. So that character, I love what came out of him more than anything.
He's actually the character I tried using when I attempted to play before my computer cried.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a beast in that game. He really is. So
that actually makes me wonder. So do the characters actually play differently? I only played as a bunny.
They do. We had one of the our outsourcers is actually a level designer who does the balance, and he balanced everything pretty good, but yes, I feel in general if you're not a great player, you should go with bunny. Or Gani. Gunny and Faye, the ranged characters, are a little harder to play, and you've got to be a little more skillful with them. That's in my experience. So some other people may have other opinions, but pretty much with Gani, the elephant, or Bunny, you can just Zerg rush and hack and slash.
Nice. Are there any kind of hidden characters or secrets after you beat the game?
Nope, not currently. We did not have time or budget. We pretty much came down to the wire on that release with getting the game done just right before. And then, as we noticed on our first Twitch broadcast, a few bugs slipped through that were pretty bad. There was one, explain it to you because it happened and it's documented on video forever. But the bosses were duplicating.
Oh,
and shit.
The reason they were duplicating when you'd watch through the cutscene and then you'd fight two bosses basically, and we didn't catch it, me because I was doing everything else and had very little time to test, but my QA didn't catch it because after playing this so many hundreds of hours and having to watch the cutscenes every time, we were skipping them. And the problem was, it didn't happen when you skip the cutscenes. If you watch the cutscene all the way through, that's when it duplicated.
Oh, man.
So we caught it rather quickly after we saw it and got a little mad at ourselves. But it happened, so, you know, and things happen. We fixed it very quickly, though.
How big of an oh shit moment was that during the stream?
That was huge. I mean, we were already, it was a Twitch stream. There were a lot of people, like 600 people in it. And if you know anything about the internet, you know they were already bloodthirsty and talking crap before the game even started.
Oh, my God.
And it quickly got ugly. And I was, like, sitting there with my fingers over the keyboard going, should I say something? No, I'm not going to say anything.
It's a feature.
No, this boss fight was supposed to be two.
I just backed out of the room slowly and got on the horn to get things fixed.
Oh my! How long did that take to fix and get a patch out?
It was a day. We got it the next day.
Oh, okay, cool. I was going to say, like, I didn't even notice that, and I did my review pretty early after the game came out. So,
well, it's still in certification now.
Yeah, we got it really quick, but it was a pretty embarrassing launch. So, I mean, it happens. So it happens. Wow.
Man, that's gotta be. Just to be on stream when that happens. What was the Twitch reaction to it when that happened?
Oh, it was bad because it was the first boss fight is G64, which is MC Chris. And like I said, before the game even started, a lot of these people were just trash talking because, you know, that's what you do on the internet. There's a lot of trolls. But, you know, they were saying things like, oh, MC Chris, you're better than this, you know. And it was funny. I was going along with it because, you know, you take the good with the bad, and people do that. But then when it happened, it just got really ugly. I don't even remember half the things they said, but they were like, oh, my God, why are you playing this? And it just you know, my stomach kind of dropped at the moment, but the, you get over it. I had it.
Shouldn't they be happy that they have double the MC Chris in the game now?
Exactly. Now there's two of them. You got two. You got two lines for the price of one.
They were on the nightmare difficulty. That's what it was. We'll go with that.
Speaking of which, I noticed, what was the decision to like put a rogue mode in and keep a like a story mode? Like,
oh, that was me fighting for it. I'm not a fan of roguelike games, to be honest with you. I know that there's a fan base out there, and when we were talking with our consultant and other people and we were making a decision on the direction the game was going, the dungeon crawler, they were wanting to push it to be a rogue-type game, just all out. And I was so against that. I fought it. So all my fighting finally got me to get two modes.
I'm so glad it did, because I'm also not a huge fan of roguelike, and I preferred, like, the being able to save through the story mode and actually play and have a good time.
It also spawned the name of the title, you know? So, Rock and Rogue.
What's the difference between the two modes?
Honestly, since we're an indie company, I wanted to put something different in for the Rogue mode, but we really didn't have time or budget or anything to do it with. So it's pretty much a no saves, one life. You gotta beat the game without ever dying or anything. And our QA has done it, so it's doable. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you, I didn't do that. I died quite a few times through the regular story mode.
You're not alone. I'm not very good at it either, apparently, because I die a lot. I don't know how he did it, but he definitely did.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's a great gamer. He really skilled at playing just about any game. It's crazy.
Are you guys looking at adding any kind of added content to the game or possibly moving it to any other platforms?
The additional content we are looking at, that's what we're pushing for, is adding additional content and getting a few things done, maybe some DLC just to advance it a little. And basically, you know, at that point you've got a good basis for doing a sequel, so that's pretty much the goal. Other platforms, not so much right now. It's politics and hard to get on other platforms, you know. Last time we tried to get on Xbox, there was a long waiting list because, you know, we don't have a foot in the door. And PlayStation, Sony, I think, wants you to come down and pitch your idea, pitch your game to get it on there. So it's kind of a more red tape that wasn't in our budget. So Steam, we already had a relationship with, so we decided just to go straight to Steam and leave it there for now.
Mm. I know personally I'd like to see it show up on Xbox or even Windows 10, but I guess I don't know how the behind-the-scenes stuff works.
Yeah, I personally, I am not a gamepad player, okay? And they talked me into actually testing the game with gamepad, and it is so much better playing this game with gamepad, and it's actually fun. So I would really like to see it on consoles myself, but...
Yeah, but I definitely played it with the controller. I plugged in my controller, I was like, I gotta play it this way.
And it's much better, It's a lot easier. It's fun. It feels more natural. So
I feel like typically these kind of games do dungeon crawlers.
Well, I mean, I'm a Diablo 3 player myself, and I play it with a keyboard, and I've always been comfortable with that. But somehow they taught me into the gamepad, and now I'm kind of hooked on that. So I think I might want to try that with Diablo now.
I am absolutely... You know, when I play Diablo 3 on Xbox One, I get completely addicted for an embarrassing amount of time. Not as bad as our one former host, Chris, who... There were times where we would play online and I would get an item and just not even knowing the name of the item, just knowing the enemy that dropped it and where I got it, he said, well, it could be this, this, or this. And I would examine it, and it would be the one thing, and he's like, okay, what is this bonus stat on it? Because if it has this, you're going to want to use it with this and this and this, or you could always re-roll it to get this, and then it'd be a good set with this, this, and that. Like, this shit off the top of his head.
That is an insane amount of useless knowledge.
he's a fucking encyclopedia for Diablo 3. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome, though.
I kind of wish he was around to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
I've never the last Diablo game I played was 2. I've never actually played 3.
Wow. It's good, man. You should try it.
You should.
Really I've always thought about getting the Ultimate Evil Edition. I see it going on sale every so often on Xbox.
They're still producing content for it, so I mean it makes sense. It's not like it's
Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty good.
It's surprising how much they've been supporting it, and it's cool to see that. Yeah, even though Activision owns them, Blizzard is still like, you know, we're going to do what we want. We don't care who our parent company is.
Rebel, yes.
But yeah, do you think there still might be a chance that we could see the game show up on Xbox in the future, or PlayStation, or Switch, or whatever?
I hope so. I mean, you never know what happens. I mean, just time and money is all it takes to do these things. So there you go.
And
the better the
PR.
Game sales, the better the chances.
Correct. The more support I'll get for it. You know, like I said, I'm the creative guy, not the money guy. So if people go out and support it, they'll give me a green light. That's all we need.
You need someone handling PR to get the word out that there needs to be a console version of it. If only there was someone who runs PR in this call right now.
Oops, what? What's PR? We're an indie company. We can't afford PR. What are you talking about?
So, Amy, what do you think? Would you like to see the game show up on consoles?
Oh, smooth, Jeff. Absolutely. I've been working with these guys since we launched Boo Bunny Plague, and I work with a lot of really talented, great, passionate teams, and Ricky and his team are exactly that. They exemplify what passion indie developers show and have, and they've been working and refining the universe that is Boo Bunny and his character compadres, and it would be great to see it on console as well as just continue to expand on the narrative that Ricky has written out. I've been one of the lucky few who've gotten to read his little brand Bible, and it's really funny and clever, and hopefully we can continue to build it out. So yes, absolutely. Big fan.
You were really, really good at the PR thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Who was that? You guys know her?
She just randomly walked into the chat.
Yeah.
Yes. See, I warn people when PR people are like, hey, listen, can I join as well just to, you know, sit in on things and keep an eye on the conversation. I'm like, you could sit in all you want, but I will find a way to get you talking on the show.
It's Joe's job, damn it.
It is. It's my job to involve everybody on the call.
And you are awesome. So good at it.
So, Amy, what do you think of the game? Have you played the game much yourself?
I have, probably not as much, obviously, as Ricky has, but my husband has also played, so we've been, again, the lucky few that have gotten to see the game from its infancy and from its vision standpoint. Ricky has had to walk me through quite a few levels. I have to admit, I'm a much bigger console player, so that alone has me wanting it on console. Big Xbox One and PS4 fan. But yes, it's funny. It originally wasn't my type of humor, but when I see somebody like my husband who is extremely sarcastic and just loves all of that kind of humor, it's fun to see. It's one of the few games that we've gotten to enjoy together, frankly.
Nice. It's good to hear you're a console fan, too. So, see, the power lies within you to get in touch with the console manufacturers to make some deals happen.
See, Joe just reps you in and then he tricks you.
I know.
Gives you homework.
I should know better than to get hooked like that.
I warned you. I did warn you in email that I'm getting you involved.
I was trying to figure out a way to sneak in on the call without actually telling you I was going to be on the call.
You just had
Skype makes the noise. We always know.
Yeah, if I have to add you to the call and I see your name sitting in that box, it's going down. You should have just went to Ricky's and sat in the closet and with a second pair of headphones.
That's what I should have done.
Or sneakily found out what our Beam channel was and just listened to that.
Oh, yeah, you could have done that. Just hang out in the Beam chat.
Oh, next time.
Well, now we know, so, you know, next time it will work.
True.
It's too late. You are too late. We've already brought you onto the show.
I'm enjoying this.
So aside from Diablo, any other games you currently playing aside from, you know, Bubani and Diablo, like I said already?
To be honest, for inspiration on this, I played a lot of the Marvel Heroes 2016, which is a Diablo clone as well. So I played a lot of that. So I'm still trailing off of that, and I do play Overwatch, and that's about it right now.
So, big Blizzard fan, then?
I am, off and on. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I'll quit WoW for a few months and then come back and then quit again and come back. So,
that's because you got to wait for new content to be added every couple months.
Correct. And, you know, I get tired of it consuming a big bunch of my life. Like, I have to literally just uninstall the games and lay off for a bit while we're in development. Otherwise, you know, I'll get distracted very easily, so... And I wear many hats. I'm writing, I'm animating, I'm designing, doing art. So I can't really let myself fall into one of them holes. And it's very easy to fall in a hole of just playing games. And, you know, you sit down at noon and play a game, and then you look up and it's 9 o'clock at night and you didn't even know it. You know?
Oh, there's too many nights that I know all about that.
Yep.
9 o'clock, that's when I get started.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. I woke up at 9 p.m. last night, and I've been up ever since.
Nice. Well, I have two children, so I can't do that anymore, unfortunately. I got to take them to school.
Oh, I'm still technically a child. I'm only 18, so I got a lot of time that I can fuck around.
Good deal. Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, seriously. You're going to get to my age, and then you're going to be like, what did I do with my life? Oh, I played a lot of video games. I guess it was pretty good.
Yeah, I got a lot of achievements. I'm happy.
Achievement hunter.
Exactly. That's my life right now. I just play achievement. I play some of the worst games for achievements if I have to. If it's easy, I'll play it pretty much.
So CJ, what kind of achievements were in Boo Bunny? What did you get?
I completed the game. It was all just storyline stuff, so it wasn't anything that I had to go out of my way to get.
Do you have any feedback?
We kept it pretty simple, so.
I don't mind it being only storyline stuff. Sometimes that's the best. Like, that's another reason it would be like, I would definitely buy it if it came on console, just so I could get 1,000 gamer score as well. That's just, I don't care that I already own another place. Now I can get 1,000 gamer score. I'll take it, because I'm an achievement hunter on Xbox. I don't even care about achievements on Steam. They just happened to come naturally because I was enjoying the game so much I beat it.
Oh, man. So what games are you looking forward to that are coming out this year? Anything special?
I'm actually a big fighting game fan, Mortal Kombat, etc. So Injustice 2 is coming out soon, and I'm excited for that. So are my daughters. They really like playing those games with me, so... Any family time game I can spend with them is great, so Injustice 2, I'm really looking forward to for that.
Are you on board with Tekken 7 yet?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm a love-hate relationship with Tekken in the series, so, you know. Same way with Street Fighter. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. It's just the way it is, but I've pretty much been there for every Mortal Kombat, though, so...
Yeah, I love Mortal Kombat. I've always had more fun with Mortal Kombat than Street Fighter, and especially with Street Fighter V, it seemed to forget what made the game fun. It's like they wanted to go just after, like, big-time tournament players and fuck the casual fans.
Exactly.
I'm awful at fighting games, and that's part of the reason I really enjoyed Mortal Kombat 9 when that came out, because it was the beginner difficulty was so easy that anybody could do it.
It's easy, and it makes you just want to unlock everything, you know? It makes you want to find all the secrets. That's just how that game is.
I am awful at fighting games. Like, that, I would say, is probably my worst genre of gaming. Completely.
I know, but that's the lovely thing about them, too, is you don't really have to be good at them. You just have to be kind of good with one person. Because each of the fighters are different. If you find that one you can do pretty good with...
Or spam attacks.
Exactly. You're good.
I have that one character. I think it was... Fuck, what was his name? It was the dude with the hat that was like also a spinning saw blade.
Kung Lao?
Yeah. Yes, that's it. In Mortal Kombat 9, you could just go up, down, and he would teleport, and then you could press X while in the air and grab him.
I think Smoke in Mortal Kombat 2 was similar to that. You could teleport under the ground and do an uppercut punch, and it was crazy cheat.
Yeah, exactly. You could just keep spamming that crap. And I remember doing that to my friend because he was also terrible at it. And he would get so mad. He would be like, you're not allowed to use that character anymore because you're just cheating.
The old school Mortal Kombat fans know that true cheesing in Mortal Kombat, Scorpion, back low punch, uppercut, down back, high punch, repeat.
Yep.
So spear, uppercut. Teleport, punch, spear, uppercut, teleport, punch, spear, uppercut.
Yep.
Biggest asshole in the world.
And there was pretty much, I think it was 9 or 10, you could also do something similar to that with him. Like, Scorpion was a beast.
I've always been a Sub-Zero guy myself, but yeah.
Did you enjoy browsing the crypt to unlock stuff?
I did, actually. Yeah.
I didn't like that there was scary crap in it, though. Did not expect that.
I know, I didn't either, and I never could hit the button right on those just because of it, because you never expect it.
My co-host, Chris, who I talked about before, our old co-host, he loves the Mortal Kombat games, but he will never go back into the crypt again, because he... He hates scary stuff. He hates scary movies. He hates jump scares of any kind. And he's just browsing through like, hey, I'm going to unlock some new moves or skins or oh, my Jesus Christ, get the fuck out of this.
It's like, why?
It just popped up and he lost his shit.
I believe it. I was like, why is this a part of the game?
it's well done.
When Mortal Kombat X came out, I told him, you know, they have something like that in the new one, but you could actually, you know, attack and get credits for it. And he's like, oh, the crypt? Yeah, I just paid the $20 and unlocked everything.
I believe it.
He didn't even bother. He's like, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to tempt it. I just paid the money.
I get it.
Got everything.
They added that ability in, you know? They're doing that.
Yeah, that made that kind of cheap.
Yeah, it did.
It's for people like Chris who are...
I'm actually getting more into horror recently. I don't know. I used to be so bothered by horror games, and now it's like, I kind of like watching them, and maybe I'll try my hand at Layers of Fear when that's free next month.
Yeah, that should be good. It's a good game.
You play any horror games over there?
No, not really. Not often. The few I've played in the past are a little slow-paced. Even the Resident Evils, I wasn't really that into them.
Well,
that's just me. Everybody has their own taste.
True.
Yeah.
What about you, Amy? Are you a fan of horror games?
You are so good. I don't like horror games like I don't like horror movies. I like shooters, fighting, and platformers. I'm old school.
Platformers are great.
Diablo style games. Like Boo Bunny.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Are you two on the Switch hype train?
I am, but I also am an early adopter. So, you know, being in the line of business I am, it's good to have all the systems. And I, that's how I sell it to my husband. It's I got to be on top of everything.
It's a tax write-off, huh?
Totally. But I love, you know, I am a big fan of Nintendo. I worked both at Sony and at Microsoft. Never got a chance to work for Nintendo, but have always been a fan. So, and besides Legend of Zelda, I mean, who's not a fan of that franchise?
True. Team Neon or Team Gray?
Neon.
Yes. Okay, we're friends.
Okay.
Good answer.
Good answer, yeah.
I think Mike Micah of Other Ocean has been tweeting out that it's like, you know, this is the battle line. It's Team Neon and Team Gray. Like, can we find a way to segregate Team Neon players from the filthy Team Gray people? Like, if you don't have neons, I don't want to play with you.
Wow. Is there a Team Invisible? Because I'm not going to have either.
That's just being lonely.
I don't want it.
What about you, Ricky?
Excuse me.
Neon, for sure.
Are you grabbing a Switch?
I don't know about right when they first come out. I'm kind of that guy that waits a minute so I don't have to send it back and wait for another one.
Makes
so
sense.
I usually give it a minute and then get it. Like with the Wiis and Wii Us, we played around with those for a while, but they eventually wound up in my kids' room, and they love them still. So, you know, it's never a waste. You know.
So you're going to wait until Amy's breaks, and then you'll be like, all right, now's a good time to get one.
I'm going to check with Amy and make sure it's good first. You know?
Is the Switch a platform you see yourself wanting to support in the future? Get a game on there?
I think it would be cool. I mean, I wanted to do the Wii U. We actually had a license with Nintendo. That's the only one we were able to get. But by the time we got around to developing on it, that's when they were discontinuing it. So it was kind of pointless at that point. But yeah, I mean, I'm like Amy. Nintendo's old school. I mean, I'm in my 40s. I grew up on Nintendo. You know, I grew up on Atari. My daughter's name is Atari. So,
which is awesome, by the way. I saw that. And that is such a cool name for a child. I really like it.
She loves it. But I mean, yeah, Atari, Nintendo, I grew up on that. I would love to do something on a Nintendo platform. It would be awesome. But and plus, it's weird because there's two screens. I don't know how it's going to work. If it's going to be similar to the Wii U or what. But, you know, there's so much extra stuff you can do if you really look into it. There's, you know, extra stuff you don't have to do, too. You know, I mean, from what I understood on the Wii U, a lot of games you could just play the same game was playing on the screen as was on your television, but there's so much more you can do with that screen that's really cool.
No. Hey, Curse of Nordic Cove on the Switch.
No.
Just turn that one down.
Burn it with fire.
By the way, at the beginning of the show, I did buy that game because you mentioned it.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, he sent me a gift copy.
I did.
I appreciate it. It's cheap, and it is what it is.
I want to hear more about any game that involves golfing. I want to check out.
Yeah, it's functional. It works. It's just you can tell we're very early in everything we did. The art, the writing, the game design. You know, some of these guys were straight out of college at that point. So it's good though, for what it is.
Well, I am eager to check it out.
It has a lot of cursing, just forewarned. I mean,
hey, so does our show.
I did not write that one.
Later.
I didn't write that one. That was written by Jeff Reimert's wife at the time, who was working for the company, too. She wrote that, and one of the lines is, fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's
that is fantastic.
Every other word is an F word in that game. So
in fact, this episode's been a little light on the swear, so if you want to bring it up a little bit, yeah, fine.
Tell us some other lines from this game.
You sure it didn't have the C word in it?
No, I don't think it did.
So, Ricky, what is your favorite curse word?
What is my favorite curse word? Probably fuck's the one I use the most. I mean, exactly. Isn't that everyone's?
Exactly. That's everyone's.
It's the old standby.
I think if anyone tells you something else, they're probably lying or just fooling themselves.
Yeah. I mean, you can like a word without using it often, but definitely fuck is like the optimal word because there's so many meanings to it.
I mean, some of them are fun to say. Like, I've always found, not the C word, but twat fun to say, you know?
Yeah.
There's certain words that are fun to say, but, you know, fuck's that's the best word ever.
I don't know why we went to the C word when we could just say it on the show if we want.
Yeah.
But we don't have a comics code authority or anything.
Well, there's some words that we might stay away from. But.
Some people are afraid of the cunt word, but I don't mind it.
Yeah.
So.
Whatever, it's a word.
It comes words down to the offensive. Audience. But
words are only offensive because we make them offensive, in my opinion, to be honest with
you. True. You mentioned twat, and me and my friends the one time were trying to think up of the most British insult we could, and I think I called someone a frothy twat.
Sounds disgusting.
It's even better when you say twat.
You frothy twat.
Yeah.
Amy, what's your favorite swear word?
Oh my god, you guys.
I hate you people.
Fuck you guys.
I have a 4-year-old and a 16-month-old, so I have sworn off swear words, at least for the next 5 years.
What is your favorite swear word replacement?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't think I actually have one.
You don't say, like, fudge instead of fuck?
Well, I have said frick. But that's probably just as bad, actually. I think my daughter is starting to catch on.
I like throwing out a confound it every now and then.
Yeah. I said damn once, and then she said it, and I was like, oh, no. Of course she
barnacles.
Said.
Damn. Yeah. Shit.
It happens. I eventually gave up. They know what not to say now, so
they're gonna hear worse in school, guaranteed.
Oh yeah.
So true.
Oh yeah.
Sad but true.
I remember
still waiting for some good alternative swear words.
Yeah. Don't say hell in fourth grade, by the way. You'll get in trouble. Apparently, because that's a bad word.
No, it's
what the hell.
Exactly. Yes.
What the hell?
You can't say that in school, Billy. Well, that's bullshit. That's what I
think. Fuck you, old lady.
Listen, bitch. I will cut you. Oh, man. Well, I know we have had the two of you hanging around for close to an hour now. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Cats.
Cats are good.
I have one.
I have 8.
Actually, 2.
These new carrot cake Hershey's Kisses that are out for Easter, they're delicious.
That sounds horrifying, actually.
Yeah, no, it does.
It's actually delicious. It sounds it, but it is actually delicious. So.
I don't like carrot cake. That doesn't sound good.
You're missing out.
Have you tried that Oreo Big Crunch bar?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, my Lord. It is evil. Evil, delicious.
The best kind. but yeah, as you can plainly see, I got nothing else, so I'm good.
How about you, Amy? Anything else you want to talk about? Any fun projects that you have to promote coming up?
Oh, lots, but we'll keep this one all focused on Rock and Rogue. But we do really appreciate your guys' time and support.
Well, I
guess...
Frickin' Rock and Rogue. I see cat's butt on your screen on your beam.
I do. Way. I told you there's a lot of cats here. I have 8 cats in my house. 8. That is not an exaggeration. That is not a lie.
You have me beat by 6, so I only have 2.
I only got 2 as well. Annoyingly, when we were just about to start, I had to get a new water because my cat decided to just jump up and start drinking out of my cup instead of her bowl.
Nice.
Thankfully, my cats don't like to drink Surge, so I am good.
Yeah, I just had a cup of water. My fault. Should have gotten something else, but I don't got money for that right now.
Cat on Surge would not be good.
God, I could just imagine. My cats are assholes the way it is. One of those hyped up on Surge. Oh, my Lord. Well, Ricky, Amy, it has been fantastic having the two of you on, especially Amy, because I made you talk. CJ, any other final questions from you? Or
I think we pretty much covered a lot about the game. I mean, this has actually been a more productive show. We've had shows that went a lot further off of what we were supposed to talk about.
I like that, though.
I know. I tried getting further off topic, but sometimes, you know, you just...
I don't mind getting off topic. Some people would get mad at that, but I really don't. It doesn't bother me. I love it.
Well, you can't, you know, you can't fill a whole hour with just the game.
Yeah. No.
Especially when somebody here didn't get a chance to play it because their PC sucks.
My PC is hot garbage. It is so bad. Oh, my God. CJ, seriously, how bad were those video clips I sent you?
Yeah, they were pretty bad. They made me happy that I actually have a computer that's modern.
Like, during the cutscenes, how many frames per second was I getting?
It looked like you were watching one of those claymation movies.
Well, that's terrible, too.
I know. It is bad.
Those are just videos playing. Oh,
It was bad. Like, when I went to the start screen, it took, I think, 4 seconds before the start and options, all that text, like, showed up properly instead of all blurred out. It was just...
His computer's legitimately probably from 1980.
You should totally put a PayPal up and all your listeners should donate some money for you and your PC. I'm just saying, listeners, do your job.
Well, I mean, they should support the game before they do that.
Very true.
Both.
I feel bad asking for money from viewers again because just last fall they helped us raise the money for a PlayStation VR.
Nice.
So I don't want to go doing that again.
This time he wants to earn it all by himself.
Yeah, I really should.
I'll just suggest they do it.
Okay, that makes sense.
You gotta get a new review for a PC coming up.
It's a Boo Bunny Plague fundraiser.
Yes.
Sponsored by Boo Bunny Plague Adventure. So, again, Ricky, Amy, it was fantastic having the two of you on the show. Do you have any final words to end things?
Thank you for having me, Joe. CJ?
How about you, Amy? Any final words?
Thank you so much, Joe, for everything, for forcing me to talk.
Did she say thank you or I hate you so much?
Yeah, that's what I couldn't tell.
I hate you so much, Joe.
You son of a bitch.
You freaking booty hole.
Exactly.
this corner, there's a corner, in the other is a champ. Bad boy Dust is gonna get punched, gonna get crunched, I'm a muscle cramp. You were foolish to pursue this, so let's do this, feeling right. Ballin', callin', knockin', knockin', no more talking, time to fight. Hear the bell sound, now you're hellbound, I'm about to beat your ass. I wear gloves for the love, I don't even need the cash. Get my kick by throwing fists, you're on my list of people to pound. List is lengthy, not a lefty, so right hooks are frequently found. Got a quandary doing laundry, maybe it's time to throw in a towel. Saw you stalking, Dracula's coughing, guess that means you're out for the count. Need folate in a juice I make, that's why I add some beat to the punch. Bell's gonna ding, your head's gonna ring, the crown of the king, I know that's up. In this corner, there's a goner, in the other is a champ. Bad boy don't is gonna get punched, gonna get crunched, my muscles cramp. When I'm boxing, I have Fox and Bob and Weechel, they can't breathe. They're exhausted and accosted, all the lots of talking teeth. I get crazy, call me Swayze, cause I got that roundhouse kick. Use every part of martial arts, I throw more bows than Ludacris. Rings a rover, hope you scuba, you're about to take a dive. Life aquatic, being honest, you're a novice out of lives. This endeavor I will treasure, been my pleasure. Featherweight, out of options, out of time, just like Doc Brown's license plate. You were foolish to pursue this, so let's do this, feeling right. Calling, calling, knock on knocking, no more talking, time to fight. Oh man, you asked for it, and I'm giving it to you. I just bought you a big box of beatdowns. And there's a gift receipt if you want to return. I'm good like that. I even looked at your wish list, so I know this is something that you want. You're a glutton for some cushion. I'ma bust them in their chest. Guess I reckon you 1 second. Clock is ticking, chicken breast. Your punk's talking out of luck. Head and nothing, pay your tab. Barely alive, unable to drive. I think that I should call you a cab. You're addicted to being a victim. Maybe it's time to revisit the behalf. Every beating is self-defeating. Stop competing, retreat and relax. You're distraught, it's all for naught. You had a plot. What you get when you mess with me? Are you happy now? I don't think so. I think you're not feeling any emotions currently because I knocked all of the emotions out of your brain with my fists and my feet. Deal with it. You need to deal with reality for once. Quit living in a fantasy land. You just had your ass handed to you by a parcel delivery man. It's nice of him. What's the bell ring, Mr. Belding? I'm afraid you can't be saved. Find your feet about to screech. It's just because I hit your brain. Take the cake but have some pie. I don't mind, it's just dessert. There's no quote to sugarcoat. No way you're running.